of good judgment on my part. What, then, will be good in them? This alone, that it is a good thing to choose them. For when I don suitable attire, or walk as I should, or dine as I ought to dine, it is not my dinner or my walk or my dress that are goods, but the deliberate choice which I show in regard to them, as I observe in each thing I do, a mean that conforms with reason. Let me also add that the choice of neat clothing is a fitting object of a man's efforts, for man is by nature a neat and well-groomed animal. Hence, the choice of neat attire, and not neat attire in itself, is a good, since the good is not in the thing selected, but in the quality of the selection. Our actions are honorable, but not the actual things which we do. And you may assume that what I have said about dress applies also to the body. For nature has surrounded our soul with the body as with a sort of garment. The body is its cloak. But who has ever reckoned the value of clothes by the wardrobe which contain them? The scabbard does not make the sword good or bad. Therefore, with regard to the body, I shall return the same answer to you, that, if I have the choice, I shall choose health and strength, but that the good involved will be my judgment regarding these things, and not the things themselves. Another retort is, granted that the wise man is happy, nevertheless, he does not attain the supreme good, which we have defined, unless the means also which nature provides for its attainment are at his call. So, while one who possesses virtue cannot be unhappy, yet one cannot be perfectly happy if one lacks such natural gifts as health or soundness of limb. But in saying this, you grant the alternative which seems the more difficult to believe, that the man who is in the midst of unremitting and extreme pain is not wretched, nay, is even happy, and you deny that which is much less serious, that he is completely happy. And yet, if virtue can keep a man from being wretched, it will be an easier task for it to render him completely happy. For the difference between happiness and complete happiness is less than that between wretchedness and happiness. Can it be possible that a thing which is so powerful as to snatch a man from disaster and place him among the happy cannot also accomplish what remains and render him supremely happy? Does its strength fail at the very top of the climb? There are in life things which are advantageous and disadvantageous, both beyond our control. If a good man, in spite of being weighed down by all kinds of disadvantages, is not wretched, how is he not supremely happy, no matter if he does lack certain advantages? For as he is not weighted down to wretchedness by his burden of disadvantages, so he is not withdrawn from supreme happiness through lack of any advantages. Nay, he is just as supremely happy without the advantages as he is free from wretchedness, though under the load of his disadvantages. Otherwise, if his good can be impaired, it can be snatched from him altogether. A short space above, I remarked that a tiny fire does not add to the sun's light, for, by reason of the sun's brightness, any light that shines apart from the sunlight is blotted out. But, one may say, there are certain objects that stand in the way even of the sunlight. The sun, however, is unimpaired even in the midst of obstacles, and, though an object may intervene and cut off our view thereof, the sun sticks to his work and goes on his course. Whenever he shines forth from amid the clouds, he is no smaller, nor less punctual either, than when he is free from clouds, since it makes a great deal of difference whether there is merely something in the way of his light, or something which interferes with his shining. Similarly, obstacles take nothing away from virtue. It is no smaller, but merely shines with less brilliancy. In our eyes, it may perhaps be less visible and less luminous than before, but as regards itself, it is the same, and, like the sun when he is eclipsed, is still, though in secret, putting forth its strength. Disasters, therefore, and losses and wrongs, have only the same power over virtue that a cloud has over the sun. We meet with one person who maintains that a wise man who has met with bodily misfortune is neither wretched nor happy. But he also is in error, for he is putting the results of chance upon a parity with the virtues, and is attributing only the same influence to things that are honorable as to things that are devoid of honor. But what is more detestable and more unworthy than to put contemptible things in the same class with things worthy of reverence? For reverence is due to justice, duty, loyalty, bravery, and prudence. On the contrary, those attributes are worth